Blessed day to you, our radio friends. This greeting comes to you from the Church of the Nazarene Barbados District. Knowing Jesus Christ is the best thing that can happen to anyone. He is our promise keeper, way maker, our truth. He is life, whereby we live in Him every single day. During our last broadcast, we shared the experiences of living in the season of fall or autumn. And we reflected on the discipline required to get us through the seasons. Today, we reflect on the season of life during the winter experiences. Let us focus on Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heaven." Also, let us observe that the winter is a time to be. Yes, a time to be, according to the writer of the Ecclesiastes. A time to be suggests to us that winter is a time of planning. Should we fail then to plan, we can expect failure. That will be our end result. The planning exercise causes us to do two things, which I would mention. First, we reflect on our list of desires, the things that we need and we believe that we need urgently. Secondly, we revisit the details, standing ready to mitigate with a sense of urgency. Should we then examine the truth about the seasons? Firstly, I want to suggest to you that the seasons are not all the same in length. The degree of impact may be different. The reception most certainly will vary from person to person. A season has a beginning and certainly it has an end. Like all things, if we can see it, there is the likelihood that what we see today may be just a memory in the future. Thirdly, the seasons always come in sequence. They are structured. They represent a cycle. At no time will a season bypass another season. They function according to the divine order of Almighty God, the Creator. I believe that the Creator viewed every season with equal regard, because He knows that each season has a divine purpose. Each season is responsible. Hallelujah. Or, I should say, each person is responsible to manage the seasons of life. So let us set our minds to face this fact, bearing in mind that no one can face your season, this season of life, without God. Amen. No one can face this season unless the person is prepared to face the facts. Let us gain inspiration from the attitude of the Apostle Paul, who is in a cold prison. What a place to be. The reference text that we'll use today, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9 through to 18, is one of those sections of the scripture that is, at first glance, makes you wonder why God included it in the inspired word or in these inspired pages of his word. As Paul concludes his final letter to his beloved son in the faith, he urges Timothy to make every effort to come to him before winter. He shares a number of personal greetings and some requests for personal items that he wanted Timothy to bring for him. How does this relate to us today? Let's look at the scripture. Do your best to come to me quickly, Paul said. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. They are gone. Three of the young men that he was in associated with, that actually supported his ministry, they're gone. So seemingly the Apostle Paul's support team is disintegrating. They're departing for different reasons. And they're doing this with stormy weather in the forecast, both physically and spiritually. In a similar way, during our seasons of life, people who we thought would partner with us during our difficult times may have reason to leave. They were good to us, but in the season of winter, they are not good to us. Jesus must have experienced similar emotions when he turned to his audience and said, This bread, this represents my body. And this wine, this represents my blood. Take them, eat and drink. But those who followed for personal gain and capital exclaimed, no, Lord, no. We are out of here. We don't want no part of that. Because they thought that Jesus meant that they would eat and drink of his physical body. Now listen to Jesus' emotions as he returned to the 12 disciples and he answered, will you go as well? But a more careful look at these verses reveals many practical insights into this great man of God, the Apostle Paul, and what made him who he was. On the one hand, he was very human. Yes, he was. His loneliness cries out of these verses. Again, have you ever been there? If you have never been there, look out, because it's coming. Verse 11 of our text. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark. He's desperate for company. He's desperate for support. Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. He's gone. The other one is gone. I need company. So the Apostle Paul makes a heartfelt request, a passionate desire, even though he knows that traveling in winter will be difficult or impossible. Come to me. Paul has requested this, my Lord, and he's doing this with an express purpose. I need company. I need familiar people around me. I need proven people in my circle at this desperate moment. I need the right persons around me in this winter season of my life. Physically, it is cold. And spiritually, Paul is saying, I am chilled on the inside. I am here facing the crucible of death. Lord, it is cold inside. It is cold outside. Have you ever been there, my friends? Verse 13, he continues, when you come, bring the cloak that I left of Carpus at Troas and my straws, especially the parchments. In the winter season, hold on to what's available to you. Build from there. That's what Paul is saying. Paul requested the resources that he needed at that critical time of his life. The cloak. I need to be covered. I need a means to give me warmth physically. But there is a warmth which I need for the inside. The stroll, the documented inspiration from the Holy Spirit as He gives it to me so that I can write. Bring especially, He said, the parchments. That is the fine animal leather prepared for use in making strolls. I need that. There is more to be written. Another epistle, another letter. Individuals must be instructed. The church must be warned. I repeat, hold on to what's left, what's available. There was an interview of a woman who had lost her house, all of her possessions in the Californian forest fire. Every single thing was destroyed. While being interviewed, the woman had a piece of stick in her hands that reached to the ground. And she was just searching through the ashes, meaninglessly, just doing it as she did her interview. And when she was doing that, she discovered a penny in the ashes. She bent down, she held up that penny to the reporter, and she made this announcement. This is a start to rebuild. My God. So when everything goes, when people leave, when things are destroyed, use what is left. So the question is asked, who can you invite into your season of winter? Do you know that? Paul continues, he's in great reflection, and he says this, Alexander, the metal worker, did me a great deal of harm. But he's humble, and Paul says, the Lord will repay him for what he has done. I am not going to take this issue into my own hands. You too should be on your guard, he's telling Timothy, because he strongly opposes God. The message that you have to share, Timothy, the message of the gospel will be opposed. Today, people are still opposing the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But at this point of winter's death, reflection will parade through our minds, as it did for Paul. Reflection. Paul recalled how Alexander the metal worker made him feel. Really made him feel badly in the inside. Alexander knew from his trade how to put metal in the fire. As he watched how the fire got into the metal, he would beat the metal into shape. So if Alexander knew a process, how to apply pressure, how to apply, in human terms, pain. He knows how to do it. So let us be mindful that there is no shaping in this life without shaking. We are living in times where something will shake us. But we learn from the experience and we move from the experience to growth. Because God works it out for our good. Character and resilience take residence, and we are able to put that in our CV. God takes care of the opposition. Leave them to Him. So Paul warned Timothy, be warned, really, dear friends, as well. At my first defense, Paul said, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against you. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all of the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to His heavenly kingdom. To Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul is wrestling with feelings of abandonment in his time of great need. He is disappointed with certain people, On the other hand, he is strong and confident in the Lord as he faces execution. He triumphantly states, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed, every single one of them, and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom." He has a hope. My God, he's inspired, my God, by hope. God sent a rescue team to aid us, my Lord, to aid us today, our people, out of our winter situations. Jesus Christ leads the rescue mission. He's up front. He's leading. Hear Paul in Colossians chapter 1 verse 13. "For he," Jesus, "the Lord God, has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Hallelujah. That's God's rescue plan. My Lord, to him he said, "Be the glory forever and ever. Amen." According to Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through to verse 12, Paul could have said, "I've been so disciplined by experiences that whatsoever be my lot, I can endure. Whatever my lot, I can endure it." My Lord. Understand, really, friends, that the secret of contentment must be learned by years of experiences. My Lord. The experiences of life is what get us through, my Lord. We have to go through our crucibles. Yes, we must. Oh, but there's the time when we have to go through all of the heat, my Lord. The heat is applied. You watch the goldsmith or the silversmith to get that value gold. The gold material has to go through the process so that we find our set with his crucible, and he will put the material into the crucible. He will then start a fire under the crucible. He makes every effort to intensify the heat and get it at its hottest. As the heat comes up to the crucible and it makes a connection with the crucible, the powder, the mineral inside, begins to take the form of liquid. It's liquefied. But the refiner stays right there, paying close attention to what's going on in the crucible. He knows when to apply more fire. He's diligent. He waits patiently as the material goes through the process. He's there. He's waiting. My Lord. Then someone may come and they may ask the question, "Mr. Goldsmith, how do you know when it is time to pour out, Lord, what's in the crucible? How do you know when the time of the process has come to completion? How do you know that, Mr. Goldsmith?" Mr. Goldsmith would usually wait and then give a smile. "I know when it has reached the stage of completion. I know when the component has come to its end. I know when it is going to reach its intended process and purpose. When I can see my image, the image of my face, when I can see that in the crucible, but then I know that it is finished." And so, my friends, Jesus Christ has a message for us. When we are going through our shaking for our shaping, my Lord, he knows, or one can discern, that the change has been made when the image of Jesus Christ can be seen in us, when Christ-like behavior is exemplified in us, when we bring ourselves to a dark world and we are able to say to that dark world, here is the light of Jesus Christ as he shines in me. Glory be to God. He shines in me. So thank God today for winter. Winter, my Lord, prepares us for the next season. Amen. Hallelujah. Winter causes us to pause from our busy schedules to come in and reflect. But you know, in the time of winter, even though we are in a kind of a relaxed state, the enemy of our souls is still working. Yeah? Things are still going on. You see, there's something about the mountain lion. The mountain lion in the time of winter does not hibernate. The mountain lion still prowls around. And remember, scripture tells us that our enemy is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The mountain lion in the winter does not rest. That lion still prowls around looking for prey, looking for something to devour. And I want to remind you, my friends, that the enemy is always there, ready, standing ready to bring difficulty to us, to bring pain and peril to us, and causing us to go through many trials. Yes, he is still there, but God says that our victory depends on how we prepare for the seasons. And I want to suggest that to prepare for the seasons, that connection with Almighty God, that connection with prayer and praise, getting into the scriptures, allowing God to speak to us, that connection will help us in our winter season. Know who to call as well in our winter season. Every person in this world needs a plus person, a person that's going to bring something and add to their lives, a person that's going to bring encouragement, a person that is going to reach down their hands and say, come on, my friend, stand to your feet. We can do this together. Thank God for the Holy Spirit who comes next to us as well. And he whispers words of comfort to us. And says, come my child, you can make it through this difficult situation. You don't have to stay indoors and all around you is cold. And all your souls seem to be given away. I have strength for you. I have strength for you. Even in the winter experiences of your life. So God comes to us today through this radio program. He brings hope to someone. And he says, my child, I am here for you. You see, sometimes reflections at the end or the closing of a year, we reflect and then we measure what we've been able to accomplish. Or not accomplished. And then we go and the emotions start to work on us. If we come to the understanding that we haven't done much, that can be very depressing. Yeah. So at the end of the year, when people make the assessment and they start to appraise of themselves of what they have done or not done, and they come to this understanding that I haven't done much, you can go into depression. It can become very cold. But God comes today and says, listen, I am going to give you another opportunity. I am a God of multiple chances. And the very fact that you realize that you have not been what you thought you should be, I am here today to strengthen you. I give you strength for today, my son, my daughter. I will give you strength for tomorrow. Tomorrow you will have hope. So look forward and do your best. Winter season will pass. The next season will be spring. Maybe the winter season is longest in duration. It is very long. But it doesn't matter how long it may seem. God, Jesus is always there. Because sometimes our skies are cloudy and dreary. Sometimes our hearts are burdened with care. But if there's one thing that we know, or we can gain strength from today, is that Jesus is always there. Never a burden that he does not carry. Never a sorrow that he does not share. So whether our days may be sunny or dreary, Jesus is always there. He's here right now for someone who is going through a winter season experience. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this privilege, O God, today to recognize that Jesus Christ is our deliverer. God, that Jesus is a present help in the time of trouble. That you, O God, open the gates, O God, of the city of refuge, and somebody can run in today into you, O God, and find comfort and receive, O God, your legal protection. O Father, you're willing to give somebody a cloak today to bring warmth, O God, to someone's heart. So Father, by thy supernatural power, we are asking you to reach in and touch somebody today in a very special way. So God, thank you for doing this. And Father, we celebrate the fact that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ lives. And because he lives, we can face tomorrow. I am Pastor Patrick Weeks from the Cave Hill Church of the Nazarene. God bless you in this day of reflection. May God be glorified. Amen. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know one day.